All right. 1 Peter 2:13. There are some really beautiful, beautiful things here. I hope I've got enough brains to bring them out to you. I studied real hard on this, and my memory is lapsing. I'm having a terrible time with my memory lately, with all this sickness. Anyway, hypagate. Passe. Anthropine. Ketese. Dia. Tone. Kirion. Ete. Basilee. Pos. Hyperkepton. Hyper Econte. My tongue is tied tonight for some reason. Hypotagete. That literally means to stand under. And it means to submit. Submit. Now, how many of you have been down the road lately in a car and a guy turned the red light on you? Well, the funny looking cars, you know, that don't look exactly right. They look like a Holstein cow. Black and white. And they turn the light on you and give you this, you know. And do you obey or what do you do? Take off and hide that car, huh? Well, some people do. And they chase them all over. And you can see these deals, but they usually catch them sooner or later. Or they run out of gas or crash into somebody or something. But what that means is you're going to submit to authority. Now we have to, human government, if you look up, oh man, it's gone. Well, I don't like that. Yeah, it's over there. We have to move this down just a little bit. I have to refer to my chart. All right, here we go now. This is better. We can't have that. Under human government right here, see under this stage of the world history, human government. Why does human government exist? To begin with. Why does human government? Why? What?
To protect the people.
To protect people from each other and from the government. You know? The government is supposed to protect you from other people, and it's supposed to have self-protecting to protect you from the government. Because some governments are really, really bad, aren't they? If you live in some countries, you are a victim. They're the victimizers and the victim in those countries, and that's just the way it is. Well, it says submit to passe every, and then anthropine, human, katese, and that means, this actually means an act of creation. Every human created thing. What it's talking about here, though, if you get back to syntax, it's talking about every created ordinance to protect people from other people and people from the government. This doesn't really work out here if you really read the news and in between the lines sometimes, the government here has done a lot of bad things that they cover up about, especially with the Native Americans that lived here. And now and then how many people do you think have been killed in gas chambers and gallows in America that were not guilty?
What?
Were they victims of the government? Mm-hmm. Every now and then this comes out, doesn't it? Well, a government is supposed to protect you from itself and from others. That's the purpose of government. That's the whole purpose. And God, in the Old Testament, gave human government a right to edict or to formulate capital punishment. And what do we mean by capital punishment? Death. Punishment by death for certain crimes. And the Old Testament also tells us how to do it, how to deal with these things. There's a lot of criminals that get by. There's a lot of people that get by with murder. Really. There's a lot of people that get by with it. That happened down south here. Not too long ago. And in a lot of other places, too. But people get by with murder. But according to the Bible, what are the requirements to execute a criminal for murder?
Have
witnesses. That's right. How many witnesses?
At least two.
At least by one or two witnesses, let everything be established. Or two or three witnesses. All right. You better not be getting those cookie crumbs in my Bible.
I'll eat every one of them.
We have requirements for that. Now, does the government always do that? No. I mean, some places, there are places where there are bad judges. There are, aren't they? How would you like to live in an Islam world country right now and be a Christian? You'd be dead meat. They'd chop you up in little pieces and leave you out in time to burn and give you a burial. Now, that kind of human government wouldn't be too good, would it? All right, it says, submit yourselves to every human created law for the purpose of really protecting. And God tells us what government is right and wrong right here. And in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, everything about civil and government is there. It tells us, it's all spelled out, the laws. So, submit yourselves to every human created law or rule because of the Lord. Dia, ton, kirion. Because of the Lord. Who created government to begin with? Who created government?
The people.
The
Lord.
The Lord. He created real government. By the way, if a government does not meet those requirements, it's a farce. It's a fallacy. You know, there's governments in the world today that do not meet God's requirements of the government. You know that? Government is to protect the people from each other and the people from the government.
But is there any governments that do meet his requirements?
Well, I'm not sure right now. we got quite a bit of mess right here and all on our hands in this country.
Yeah.
In all reality, when you get down to the truth about the matter.
Right,
what?
Is Israel right now?
Israel probably has one of the greatest judicial systems in the world, and the fairest judicial system in the world. When I was there in 75 and 76, it was really, it was bend over backwards fair for everybody. You know, if you were a veteran under a certain dialect of people and the sect of people, if they tried you, you had to have a judge that was one of them, one of your own people, and you had to have a jury of your own people. Yet you were judged by your peers and by a judge like that. Here they don't do that. I mean, you know, you've got black people trying black people, and white people trying black people. You've got white people trying Mexican people and Puerto Ricans and Filipinos and everything over there. You would have somebody of your own race and religion trying you. Okay? So if you've got the race, you're going to get one. All right? It's fair. Fairness. It says, whether king, basali, king, and then we have this little word host. Hello, young lady. Little word host, we're in 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. Host, that's a particle, and sometimes an adverb, and you can look that up on page 444. And by the way, that's the last page in Benjamin Davidson's analytical lexicon. Yes, but
did you answer a question?
Yes.
I think you did.
About Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Israel is probably the fairest place in the world right now as far as judicial, as far as I know.
Because
they try to try people on their own levels. And here, you don't find that. You don't. They're trying to get along over there, even though the enemies are saying, no, no, no. If you go over there and you go up there to Knesset and look at their judicial system, everything, you're going to find out it's very fair. It may not be fair because the people don't like it, but you're going to be tried by your own people.
In God's eyes?
Well, that's fairness, isn't it? Amen. What's the government supposed to do? Protect people from each other and from the government. That's what it does. Now, some of those Arabs over there don't think that the Israeli government's being fair with them. But they're on the other side of the war, too. No matter what happens, I mean, if they hung them with a brand new rope, they'd be unhappy. Or silk rope is the old story, isn't it? Hung them with silk rope, they'd feel right. Well, some of those people deserve to be tried and executed because government and capital punishment all came from the Word of God. Okay. Whether king has a heter and that ekonte, it comes from Hebrew, which means over, and echo. What do you think? What's echo means? Echo. That little Greek word, echo. I wish I had somebody here that knew in Greek for a while. Echo. I have or I hold. All right? I have or I hold. Now, when you hold something over somebody's head, what do you do? You can threaten them. That's right. You can threaten them. You can hold it over their head. You heard the old sermon, he's holding that over my head. Or she's holding that over my head. Well, they're holding it over the boom on you, so to speak. All right? Where the king, and then it says, someone constantly being supreme over you, or holding something over you. The government is supposed to keep the people in line, isn't it? To be a legitimate government, the government is supposed to keep people away from each other's throats. Now, just think about it for a while. Over in, how many of you ever read the King James preface to the Bible? The King James Bible. Marilyn has, and some of you have, like Alma. What does it say about that prince? Over there, it says, Almighty Prince. Sovereign Ruler. It's talking about King James. Almighty Prince and Sovereign Ruler. He can do whatever he wants to. Now, they did that. Read English history just a little bit. Have you ever heard of King Henry VIII? King Henry VIII. What do you think about King Henry VIII? Was he a nice guy?
No.
Huh?
Not if you were married to him.
Oh, if you were married to him, well, you better walk on eggshells. You better hide out. You better tie yourself a hiding place that better not be the Tower of London either. Because if you popped out a baby child, it wasn't a boy, you're going to die. That's it. That's why he killed them. They had girls. He didn't want a girl heir. He wanted a boy heir. Anne Boleyn, little Anne Boleyn, you know, I mean, he was in love with her. Boy, he even dated or had an affair with her sister before he did her. You study history. But he was head over heels in love with Anne Boleyn. And Catherine of Aragon, he was married to her, and that was his sister, older brother's wife. He had to take her for his wife, and he married her when he was 18 years old and was engaged to her when he was 12. Well, she had a child, but it was little Mary. That little Bloody Mary. That one they call Bloody Mary. Well, he didn't want her to go to the throne. So he wanted to get himself a new wife because the first child to open the womb of a woman was the heir. The first child, see, if even if Catherine had had a boy, the firstborn would be the heir to the throne. Okay. So he had to bump them off in his thinking. And finally had one that had him a boy. And he didn't last too long either, the boy didn't. After he died, he ruled for a few years and then died. Well, Henry VIII wasn't a very nice guy. If you'll study history, he was a rat. You know why he started the Church of England? It wasn't because he didn't like Catholicism. He wanted a divorce. And the Catholic Church wouldn't give him a divorce, so he started his own church and took over every piece of church property and every deacon and every priest and cardinal and everything in the whole nation of Great Britain. He just said, they're not yours anymore. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Bye. Go home. Anybody don't want to go with me? He's dead. Now, in the Word of God, by the Word of God, kings do not have a divine right to be ruler. Did you know that? Kings do not have a divine right to be ruler. But they have a divine responsibility. when we're there. You go back to the Bible. This is teaching a little bit about all the theology and the Greek too. Human government, it sets up. And who was the first king of Israel?
Saul.
And because of Saul's bad decisions, what did God do with Saul? He was no longer king. He rejected him. And God chose him another man, David. By the way, the name Saul means one asked for, and the name David means beloved. Israel asked for Saul, but God gave Israel David in his place because Saul thought he was no good. He was defunct. Now, remember, kings do not have divine rights to be rulers, but they have divine responsibility. And Peter is not condoning any special government, but simply tells Christians to observe basic laws of law and order that are set established for their protection. And of course, in some of the Roman areas where Christians were at this time, guess what? Christians weren't very well protected from the government or anybody else. I remember my great aunt told me when I went back to Oklahoma, I got a thing in the mail one time back in the 1960s and said that the United States government was settling with the Cherokee Nation and that I probably had some rights to some property or whatever, and but they weren't going to tell me who I was related to or anything else. I had to go figure it out myself. And my mother just happened to be going back to Oklahoma. And so I went back there, and first thing I did, I asked my uncle, my great uncle, I said, "Burley, are you Indian?" He goes like this. "No." You know, like this. And then I asked my great aunt, I said, "I know we're Indian. How much Indian and where and what?" And she just, "No, I don't know." Finally, my mother and dad went to town one day, and I was sitting there, and I remember I was helping her clean house, and we were making bed together. And she said, "Jim," she said, "I'm going to tell you something that we've never talked about. I'm going to tell you about the death of our father and what happened. That's why we don't talk about it." And she looked at me, and she said, "Don't you believe anything the government tells you. Don't you dare believe them. Don't ever trust them whatsoever. Don't do it. They killed our father and murdered him." And she said, "Back when we were little children, our father had a plantation in Georgia. And he signed a treaty, and they gave him another allotment, and he went into Oklahoma. And they said that this treaty would be the last one he ever signed, and this would be his land." He said, "We build a farm." And in the year 1905, we had this farm, and the government contacted our father and said that you no longer have any rights on this land. This land is going to be up for lottery, and you've got to move off. Well, he couldn't go. And then they sold it to some white man. This was his farm that they sold. And they said, "You have to sign a new contract, a new treaty, and it's called the Dawes Act. And if you don't sign this, you're not going to be, until you sign this, you're an enemy of the state. You're an enemy of the United States government because you're a wild Indian again. And we're going to kill you if you don't sign this treaty." And she said, he told the guy that they asked him to come out the house. He said, "I'm too old to move again. I can't do it. I just can't do it." And they said, "Well, we'll kill you if you don't. Because this isn't your land anymore. This is this other guy's land. And that's his pasture down there. It's not your pasture." So the next day, when he drove his cows down there, he had goats and he had cows and he had sheep and he had pigs, chickens, and the white people would come over there and steal everything he had. Just take it and steal it. They couldn't go to court against him or anything. Mm-hmm. Now, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But that happened. And then she said, "And when we went down there and drove our cattle, and we were all in the buckboard with our ground for our dad, he got out and unlatched the gate on the pasture, and that man that bought the land from the government was standing there with a shotgun, and he said, 'Mr. Wilburn,' he said, 'you come step one step out of that buckboard and I'll shoot you and kill you.'" Well, when he got out of the buckboard, the lady's cows and the man shot him, and they died on the way home. He's left for dead. Well, there is a time that the government did not protect its people from each other or from itself. That's a total, absolute failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter isn't giving governments a license to do that. Because that's wrong, isn't it? Is it wrong under the
side of God when we talk about human government?
Is it? No? All right, 2:14. Heg Manusen. Hos. De. Altu. Pampo Minois. Ace. Ek. De Kaysen. Kokal Poin. Epoinon. De. Aga. Tho Poinon. By the way, Peter uses words that are not used anyplace else in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people portray Peter as an idiot, so-called, as a dummy, as a very unlearned man. But Peter didn't write down these words being ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
He read. He read literature. He read. He read the Septuagint. He read a lot of other works. He read Philo. He read. Well, not Philo, but Josephus and many other works that were used and communicated at this period of time. Now, it says whether we have governors, I think it says in King James, doesn't it? Whether, anything is whether or. And then it says, in King James, does it say governors? And that's what I got down there written in there, isn't it? Governors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what it actually means, it means leaders. This word here comes from ago. Ago. Alpha, Gamma, Omega. That's where it comes from. Ago, which means I lead, I bring, or I go. Okay? And this word means world leaders. Are leaders of groups of people. Leaders of any country. Leaders of any state, or province, or city. You have a mayor over the city of Bakersfield, don't you? So he's one of the agos, one of the leaders, one of the agomosons. Whether leaders, as by the agency of him. Now who's this him here? Who's the him? This should be a capital H-I-M. That's God. Who established government? God did. All governments are not legitimate. Because they don't meet the requirements of God. But God does establish government. And then he says of him, once being sent out. And then we have the Greek word ace there. That little preposition. Which means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Once being sent out for extensive limitation or thought of verbal action. Now, why does a governor or a leader mete out vengeance? Vengeance. How many of you ever heard Roger preach a sermon on hell? You ought to listen to that. It's on the website. You can go to discovertheword.com and look on the doctrine of hell, and you will hear Roger preaching the doctrine of hell. When a person kills somebody, you can kill somebody when you didn't really mean to sometimes. That's what you call what we call manslaughter or unintentional manslaughter. And then there's such a thing as premeditated murder. But a government is supposed to take care of all those things, and all of them are delineated out in the law of Moses. How, between civil governments, how people are supposed to get along together, and if somebody goes along and comes up to you one day and pokes your eye out. How many of you ever had a hand for hand, foot for foot, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth? You ever heard that saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if you're supposed to turn the other cheek, how is that supposed to work? Turning the other cheek is turning the other cheek to your brother in church. But this is civil law. This is how people get along together. Now, if John goes along over there and goes down the road and knocks somebody's eyeball out, under the law of Moses, they take him and knock his eyeball out. That's a great deterrent to knocking somebody's eyeball out. Okay? If you go along and you bite somebody, bite somebody's ear off, you know, like they do in some of these barroom brawls you hear about?
Tyson.
He's a barroom brawler, isn't he? Old Mike Tyson. If you bite somebody's ear off, under the law of Moses, what's supposed to happen? Lose your ear. You think that might be a deterrent to crime? All right. This is what this vengeance means. And dekasi, it comes from akendekio. It's what it comes from. And that means to give out justice. Okay? And then it says for ones being sent out for vengeance. Now we have policemen over. And sheriff's officers and things like that. They're supposed to go out and grab up these evildoers, aren't they? And haul them off to jail. Our government is so messed up today that the evildoers are protected more than the victims are. Now, that's something wrong with that situation. That's real wrong. Something needs to be repaired about it. You protect the evildoers from the victims. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible took care of that too. Did you know that? If you did something wrong to somebody, and as a matter of fact, you killed Levi's wife over there. And they took you up there and they said, Levi, do you have a witness to your wife being killed by this guy? Nope. You mean you can't prove it? You didn't have any eyewitnesses. No, we didn't do that. Well, we can't go out and stone you to death. But, Levi, you can kill him. And bring you're an angel of vengeance. But this guy now, he killed this woman. I mean, we got a pretty good idea, did it? But we can't try him for murder. But the victim's relative could take care of the situation. If the government couldn't do it, then the closest kin was supposed to do it. Yeah, Brother Levy.
I'm going to ask you, well, in that situation, you know, how God would look at you if you turned around and did vengeance in you on the person that killed the person that was related to you, your wife or whatever. I mean, how would you look at it? Because you then a premeditated murder.
Well, the Bible says that you're allowed to do that. It's God that spelled out the rules, not us. So the Bible says go do it. But the Bible says also, if you can get to a city of refuge before this guy is going to kill you, as long as you're in that city of refuge, you can stay there and stay alive. Because he can't get you. But he's going to camp out on the outside of this city of refuge. If you ever walk out of that door of that city, you're dead meat. And I'll protect you while you're there. But if you ever leave, you have it. God set up those rules. So if the government doesn't take care of your problem, then you have a right to take care of your problem according to the Word of God. I'm not telling you to go out there and take your justice in your hands, but that's what the Word of God says. Our government should say that still today, Brother.
Didn't also that city of refuge, the cities that he made for, but not only for good, is if it was an accidental death.
Yes.
Yeah. The premeditated.
Well, if they couldn't have enough evidence to prosecute the person, they could go there also.
Uh-huh.
All right, like I said in the beginning, I don't think you were here at the very beginning on that, is that before a government can actually, this government we live in today has executed a lot of innocent people. Because our laws do not go according to the law of Moses when it talks about executing a criminal. There has to be eyewitnesses. All right? I mean, there's people that have been executed, hung, electrocuted, and done all kinds of stuff to, that are killed and executed by our government that were not guilty, and later on they said, uh-oh, we killed a good guy. It was a mistake. All right. One's being sent out for witness. And then it says kakopoion. This is a very rare old classical dialect word. and verse 12, and here it's used. That's the only place you're going to basically see this word in the passage. It is used one other place, but it is two separate words instead of one word combined. It comes from kapos, which means bad, and then poion, or poio. Poio means the what? The R word poem comes from. Remember what poio means? To make or to do something, to practice something, to do it. We get our word poem, it means you make words rhyme. You practice that and you make words rhyme. So what do you do here when you kako poio? And by the way, this is a nominee singular masculine present participle active. This is something that's continuous. This is a habit. Alright? Evildoers. People that just let it all hang out. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what it means. Evildoers. People that are practicing evil. Now, who's the vengeance going against? Why is the vengeance, why is government established?
Protect the people.
To protect the people from the evildoers. Alright? Alright, that's the purpose. That's purpose in capital punishment. And, I mean, really, there wasn't such thing as incarcerated unless you want to look at those cities of refuge, because they were incarcerated in those cities. You couldn't leave those cities. And you had to provide for yourself, too. I mean, you went off to, I mean, you killed somebody over here and you took off and went to a city of refuge, and they were all over scattered throughout the land. I think there were 7 cities of refuge, if I remember right. I remember laughing so bad I don't know anymore. But there were a certain amount of cities of refuge all throughout Israel. And it was some place where you could flee to keep from being killed by the closest of kin that would bring vengeance. Now the government, the purpose of government is to mete out justice and vengeance against evildoers. And then it says, but praise to ones practicing good deeds. Agathopoio. Look at that. Agathos. Agathos is really a good word. That agathos, that means spiritually good deeds. Agathos. That's a real beautiful word for spiritually good deeds. When you do something good. You ever done anything good? Help your neighbors. Act like a Christian. When I was coming down the Rosedale Highway, there was a sign up there on the road, and it said, love my neighbor. And God said, I really meant that. And it said, God, in the world. Love my neighbor. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Love thy neighbor. Act like Christians. You ever help your neighbor? I was thinking today, when I lived in different places, wherever I lived, in Nevada and California, in different cities and places where I lived, always tried to be a good neighbor to people. Always tried to help out my neighbors. And I'd go over there and help them when they needed something, or if they were just share things with them sometimes. I wouldn't got a whole lot of potatoes or something sometimes. I'd go share the potatoes with them, or carrots, or whatever I had, I'd share it with them. My neighbor one time, I had 3 or 4 goats that I was milking. And he said, Jim, he says, if you'll feed my calves some of that milk and raise them up, he says, I'll share that meat with you. And that's sharing back and forth. Mm-hmm. Practicing good deeds. All right? And that's nominee, singular, masculine, present, participle, and active again. And that's absolutely opposing this kakapoyo, isn't it? Ones practicing good deeds should have praise. You should not be incarcerated if you're practicing good deeds, should you? You shouldn't take it out there and be strapped to the center post of the center of the city and beaten if you're practicing good deeds. Good deeds should be rewarded by at least not bothering you when you go try to worship God on Sunday. Or Friday or Wednesday or whenever you go. You ought to be able to go there and go there in peace without being arrested for trying to serve the Lord. Some governments do that. 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter 2:15. Poti? Potos? Estin? Tol? Thelema? to, to you, agathopoiontes. And then timon, pain, tone, athronon, anthropon, agnousion. All right. Because in this matter, because that's a little conjunction there, and then hutos, that's a word that means thusly, or in this mannerly. It's an adverb. It's an active thing. What about the word ungodly? That's describing somebody. It's kind of an adverb, describing somebody, an ungodly buzzard. You know, ungodly. What does ungodly mean? Well, in front of it has un, doesn't it? And then we have God, that means not God. And then L-Y on the end, that's an active thing, isn't it? It means actively not related to God. Or actively not godly. Actively going against God. Somebody who their ungodly deeds. Okay? Now, here we have thusly, because thusly, it is the will, the thelema, it comes from thelo, which means I wish. Now it is God's wish, or God's spiritual activating force, is why God became flesh and dwelt among us, and then voluntarily went to the cross and died for our sins. God voluntarily did that. He did that because that was His will. Now, I tell you what, there was total maljustice taking place at that time. Just total bad justice. In this world, whose world is this right now? Satan's world. Who is the God of this world? Satan at this time. We really faced a lot of problems in this world. When you're born, somebody slaps you on the bottom. And then you cry to complain about it, and somebody sticks something in your mouth. Gags you. And you go through life being kicked around and slapped. All through life, don't we? And you, the first thing you do when you're a little baby, then you get a cold. Somebody gives you a cold. And you get sick. And I've been going down to this cancer center lately, and I see all these little children down there sick. And every time I see one, boy, I go into praying mode. And start praying for those little kids and things, and people that are sick and everything. It just tears my heart up. And my wife said the other day, well, why? I've had problems with these treatments and everything. And it's pretty bad. The treatments, the radiation treatments, just were devastating. In the beginning, nobody has that. Nobody. They told me nobody ever had this kind of reaction to radiation to begin with. Well, it probably would have killed them if they kept up. They told me today they weren't going to do them anymore. And they told me they couldn't do the seed implants for the same reason. And then the surgery is out of question because of the side effects that I'll have afterwards. Because of my health and things and what I'm allergic to. So that kind of just shuts the door on everything. Except maybe I can go down to Loma Linda and have that proton beam down there. Maybe. Maybe. Otherwise, I'm sentenced to death. And my wife says, that's bad. I said, well, that's Satan's world. I live in it. But I won't have to put up with it forever. I won't have to put up with it forever. Because when I leave this world, there's going to be justice there. And here, there's no justice. You can do good all your life. You can do the best you can for God. And you can still get your teeth kicked out of this world. I found out down here in the court system. The justice sometimes doesn't show up. But
you could never do a thing wrong. They'll stick you on a cross and kill you.
People get killed. I mean, look at this guy that shot all these people here a while back, these two guys. One time the Pharisees asked Jesus, he come up and there was a blind guy come to him. He said, who sinned, him or his father? Well, how could he sin? He was born in blind. He was born. What did he do when he was? First thing he did is kill somebody and God poked his eyeballs out when he was a little baby? No. He said, well, then his parents sinned.
I said, no.
He said, sometimes, you remember when they were over here going to war and this building fell on these people and killed them all? Do you think they were sinners? When Jesus was killed on the cross of Calvary, was he a sinner? No. That's what happened. Solomon said one time, the race is not to the fastest man. The battle, or the war, is not to the greatest captain. But luck and chance and evil happens to us all. We all ought to read the book of Job every once a year, anyway. Read that, because you're probably going to be participating in it before long. Peter, later on here, he says, the Lord has told us that the devil goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour and destroy. And God does that. And I'm going to tell you something. The more you serve God, the more trouble you're going to have in life. It doesn't give you a good reason to be evil either. The more you serve God, the more the devil's going to be on your trail. That's just the way it is, because he don't want you to get away. He's going to make life rough on you. Because, thusly, in this manner, the will of the God. The will of God is practicing good. Look at that word, agapoiontos. That's accusative, plural, masculine, present, participle, and middle voice. What does middle voice tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Personal volition.
Mm-hmm.
That we are supposed to do good because we want to, because the Spirit of God lives in us, and it's supposed to instigate us to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this week, how much of this bad doing and how much of this good doing did you do? Huh? That's, you know. It says to silence, timon. That's timo-u. Now, there's an unusual word, too, that Peter borrows that is not found in many places. To silence, that means the muzzle, to stop it. How do you stop? You know, we all have people that say, I go to church except for all the hypocrites there. I remember one time that Brother Martin Cannon preached to one of these guys that listened to him, and he'd go to his house and visit with his wife, and he'd always tell him why he didn't go to church because all the hypocrites down there in that church. He hated them. He didn't want to go down there and be any part of them. Finally, he repented, ran down the aisle and up to the altar and asked the Lord to forgive him one day. And then he stood up and he said, Brother Canada, what am I supposed to do? And he said, everything you told me that these people weren't doing. Because we know that, don't we? He said, now get out and do it. Get out and do it. Practice good. To silence the ones foolish men. And not only they're foolish, that word aphrono, unthinking. It comes from the word frame, which means the ability to understand and think. Peter uses two words for mind here in this verse and opposes them so you'll understand. One of them is frame is the horse sense. Okay? Just plain horse sense. I remember listening to Old Minnie Pearl a long time ago. She had some funny sayings, you know. And I've copied one of them that she did a lot of times. And her brother was a real proud guy and hard-headed and never would admit he was wrong in any way. And he walked in the blacksmith's shop one day, and the blacksmith was shoeing a horse. And the blacksmith, I don't know if any of you have ever even seen this, but he took a hot horseshoe and laid it up on the animal. And it was laying there, and when a hot horseshoe, when it turns black again after it's red, it's still real hot. But you can't tell. He walked in there and reached over and grabbed that horseshoe and put it right back down, just like that. Sizzle. Well, Minnie Pearl says, my brother was between a rock and a hard place right there. He made a mistake. He picked up a hot horseshoe. And the old blacksmith looked over and chuckled. He said, Bert, you didn't, it, old boy. He said, no, it just didn't take me long to look at it. Didn't take me long to look at a horseshoe. foolish, then have much horse sense, did he? Walking into the blacksmith shop and seeing a horseshoe laying upon the apple, could be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he was foolish. And it says foolish men, that's genitive plural there. And then it says agnousion. Have you ever heard of the word ignorant? That's where this word ignorant comes from, this word right here. Og. Knowledge comes from this word too. And when it's got off on the by learning. Then Pearl's brother probably would not go into a blacksmith shop again and pick up a horseshoe because he probably learned from that incident. That's a learning experience. How many of you ever smashed your finger with a hammer? That's a learning experience. All right? And also, how many of you ever busted your knuckles when you were pulling with a wrench? If you do that 2 or 3 times, you learn, don't do it that way again. Protect yourself just a little bit. Make sure that you got the right wrench for the right job. That's a learning experience. Learning experiences. You can learn from life, and you can learn from a book sometimes. How many of you ever learned anything out of a book? How many of you ever got directions with something that you were supposed to put together and you put it together wrong and then you had to go back and get some knowledge? Because you did it ignorantly. Okay? Here you go. Ignorantly. Now here, in 1 Corinthians 15:24 is the only place that this word ignorance here in this form is used in the Bible. So Peter wasn't such a dummy, was he?
Mm.
You know, the original language has a lot of light shed on things. Even commentaries. That you read. All right. 2 and verse 16. Hos.
Hos.
Ulutherui.
Ulutherui.
Kai.
Kai.
Mehos.
Mehos.
Epikaluma.
Epikaluma.
Ekontes.
Ekontes.
Tes. Kakios, Pei, Eleutherion, All, Hos, Theu, Duloi. And Peter is copying a little bit from Peter, or from Paul here. You know, you rob Peter to pay Paul? Well, Peter's robbing Paul. Okay, right here, he borrowed a word from him. As one's freed. Okay? One's freed. One's connected, one's freed, and not as a cloak or a cover-up. A cover-up. Again, referring to this crime in the state of California, there was a lot of cover-up on it, wasn't there? It was murdered down south. A lot of cover-up stuff. There's a lot of crimes that take place all over, and there's a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you ever watched Columbo?
Oh.
A long time ago, yeah, I used to watch it just a little bit. Columbo. Somebody was always trying to cover their tracks, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what this word here means. Epikalima. It comes from the word apocalypse. Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the word here means. It means here to put a cover upon. The book of Revelation, the apocalypse, means to take the cover off of it. Right here, some people, when they do bad deeds, they're not freed to do bad deeds. Now, when you're saved, well, I'm going to go be with God. So, why can't I just go do this? Because I know I'm going to be there. I'm okay. All right, I'll just do this little sin here. Nobody ever know it, and I'll just cover it up, and I'll be okay. But you know what? What you sow is what you're going to reap. And I don't care whether you cover it up. Have you ever gone out in your yard and had a cover out there on and something, and just threw something out there on the yard, and you take the cover up and it's green grass underneath? Or something. It incubates the devil sometimes. If you throw a blanket out there, it'll incubate them. They can grow better. Sometimes when we try to cover up our sins, it just makes them grow more, and we get more fruit. All right? It's a rare word by this. This is an Aristotelian word that Peter is using, Aristotle. So he is using another word that he had to read something to use. Okay? A cloak. The word veil comes from this word. Veil. You know, the veil that was rent from the top to the bottom in the temple when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That was a very thick veil. And it was ripped and uncovered the mercy seat in there. And it told us that God now gives man direct access to the throne of God by the blood and person of Jesus Christ. Through that veil. And then it says that we don't have a veil or a cloak for our evil deeds. And we don't have freedom. But we are of God, douloi. What's a douloi? Peter is using a word that Paul used. Paul kept saying, I'm a doulos of the Lord. I'm a doulos of Jesus Christu. I'm a doulos belonging to Jesus Christ. The word doulos there comes from a word that means to bind and to tie up. I am a slave. I am a bought and paid for slave of Jesus Christ. When the Lord saved you, He also owns you. And you're feeling fooling with the Lord's property when you're doing the wrong thing. You know that? You're messing with the Lord's property when you're going to wrong places, doing the wrong thing with your life. Paul was proud to call himself enslaved to God. A slave to God. Shouldn't we be proud to call ourselves slaves to God? How many of us have been slaves to evil? Slaves to drinking, slaves to gambling, slaves to adultery, slaves to greed, wanting more all the time in life, and pride. Slaves to pride. Slaves to all of these things in our lives. How many have been slaves to these things? God has freed you in Jesus Christ. And now you're another slave, but you're a slave to God. And we should be happy when we're slaves to Him. In the Old Testament, it gave us a wonderful, wonderful lesson. You know, there's so many cross-references to all these too. But the Old Testament gave us a wonderful, wonderful lesson in being slaves. Sometimes a person in the nation of Israel, and we're talking about the law of Moses again, it said if you became indebted, if something happened before you had to sell your property and sell yourself into slavery, every 7 years, they could only hold you as a slave for 7 years. And after that 7 years, you had to be set free. God sets you free. He bought you for 7 years. And He wouldn't allow anybody to hold anybody for a slave for over 7 years. And if that person was very happy being a slave, he had to go to the doorpost of his master's house and pull his ear out like this. All right? Like this. And that guy would take his ear and take a ice pick and stick a hole in his ear at the doorpost. Now, women pierce their ears all the time. As a matter of fact, people are piercing everything these days. Eyebrows and lips and noses and everything else. But back then, that meant something. If you had a hole in your ear, it meant you belonged to somebody. You belonged to somebody, and you belonged to them willingly because you like the dude. You like it. Scott, you've got people come down and work for free because just to be around you, don't you? Yeah, I really do. They come down and help Scott just because they like being around him. Just to come down there and spend some time. The visit. The slaves could have been set free and they could have gone out and done their own thing. But they were there 7 years. 7 years. If they wanted to stay any longer, and they had to get their ears pierced. How many of you pierced your ears for the Lord lately? How many of you, after being saved for 7 years, just keep on like being saved? Pierced your ear. You know, in our lives, there is a continual submission in our lives. When we're born again, we're children of babies. Paul says that we're speechless babies. And that as we become grown more in the Word of God, that we should not drink milk anymore, but meat. And as a child grows, you know, first they just drink milk, and then you start giving them other things. Pieces of meat, you start giving them vegetables and different things. And they grow up and they grow bigger, and you have to feed them at first, and then all of a sudden they're eating off their own blood. That's progress, isn't it? And that's maturity. Well, children of God ought to do the same thing. Many of us, after being saved for 20 years, are still sucking on a bottle. I remember my neighbor. I had a wonderful neighbor named Martha. But she had very little tolerance for drunks. And I have two uncles that were drunks. And she, and one of them had been off the bottle, or off the bottle for a long time, but he was slipping around and drinking, getting more wine bottles. And she knew about it. He was slipping around and hiding from his wife and drinking. And she worked up there in the nursery at Kern General Hospital. Well, she brought home a nipple from the old bottle and went down there and bought him a bottle of wine and said, "Come here, Bill, I got something for you." That's the way some children of God are. In Martha.
When you said that after 7 years they go and have their ear pierced.
Yeah.
Is that every 7 years they have to come back, or
no,
once?
That's just once. After 7 years, you can only be a slave for 7 years. After that, they had to be a voluntary slave.
Yeah.
Well, God, there's a type in that somewhere in our lives. There's a type in that. If you fully take that type out, by 7 years, you ought to be mature. And you ought to willingly become a slave. And I'm not going to push that all away like that. Because really, we make commitments in our life more and more. As you, can you remember when you were first saved? And you would go to church and stuff, but you didn't get involved in this, you didn't get involved in that. Then you started teaching the class, and you just give a little more, and finally you started tithing. You know, I mean, and then started giving more, and started giving of your time, and helping other people, and all this. I mean, these are commitments we make. And as we get closer to God, pretty soon, everything we have is His. It's not really ours after. It's His. We realize that we're just taking care of it for Him, because you're not going to allow to live any of it. Remember?
Well, I just was wondering, did you ever come across in the Bible where they first became, the age that they became slaves?
Well, it just, what it was is that the man had to sell himself into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of you, you know, you sell yourself into slavery for 5 years on a house, or 10 years on a house,
mm-hmm.
or 5 years on a car. You're really going to be a slave for 5 years till you get that paid off, really. Okay, just think about that just a little bit. Okay, now this is the way it was back then. Except you had to work for this guy and pay off the loan or the problem that however he bought you out of. Okay, for that period of time. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes the children were even born into slavery, but they were to be released too. You'd only keep them so much, so long. Thank you for your attention tonight. God bless you for coming. And if you want these tapes, I got them for you. And I hope to continue this class. It legally starts again next Wednesday night. I started radiation therapy here, but they won't do it on me anymore because I'm having my side effects. If I go to Loma Linda for that proton beam, I probably won't be here for a couple of months. Especially on Wednesday night. I may get them to let me do it on Sunday night or something. I don't even know when I can do it then, because I don't know how good my health is going to be. But pray for me, and I'll teach you as long as I'm here. And I love to teach, and that's why I'm here tonight. I'm not feeling good, but I'm here for you and for the Lord. That's why we serve God in season and out of season. What it means in season is when it's easy. And you still do it when it's not easy. That's when they find out what you're made out of.
Mm-hmm.
when you push yourself beyond. Brother Levine, it's good to see you tonight. There's another one, push yourself beyond. He's here tonight and not feeling good either. Yes, brother.
I'm going to say, when you go to Loma Linda, is it Loma Linda University Medical Center?
Yes. That's the only thing that, as far as I know, that can help me for where I am at this point. I was looking so much forward to going down here to the Cancer Center in Bakersfield. It's got one of the best radiation equipment there in the world. There are only a few of them around, but it didn't work.
That's an elite hospital. I mean, the best for the
here? Or
Loma Linda University.
Well, I wish it would have worked here because I had a routine. I wasn't, you know, 20 minutes away from it and everything, but it didn't work out. That would have been, it's very disappointing.
I lived six weeks from right there by the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, to do treatments. You mean, for the catheter and medication.
Yeah.
I know.
What is the home paper?
I'm going to let me dismiss you. And thank you again for your attention. I hope God blessed you with his word. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Forgive me where I fail you. Help me to be a witness for you even in these hard times. And forgive us where we fail you. Thank you for all the blessing you give us in life and sometimes even the trials. Because we don't know where it takes us or what it's going to do, but we just follow. That's what we have to do, is follow you always and always keep sight that you have a purpose in this world for us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. And I pray that these tapes, as they go out, that they will bless people all over the world. Amen.